Amen. Excellent job, Shelby. Our gospel lesson is John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. Please rise. And in this chapter, John is attempting to build faith and confidence in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And the Word was the source of God's message to the people of Jesus Christ. At least that's what my commentary said when I looked it up. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, he who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of the blood of the will, or the will of the flesh, or the will of the man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth, the Word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning. Merry Christmas. My name is D.C. Veal, and I'm the Minister of Youth and Missions here at Glenmar. Now, many of you may know that the Sunday after Easter is often called Low Sunday, possibly in reference to the lower attendance that particular day. Well, the Sunday after Christmas is known as National Youth Ministers Preaching Day. I saw a ministry-related meme on social media this week that said that this is the Sunday that the youth minister is called on to preach to the entire congregation in attendance, both of them. So I'm really overwhelmed at the attendance this morning. I know a large number of you just gathered here 4 or 5 days ago for the Christmas Eve or Christmas morning services. I'm grateful for everyone who is in attendance this morning. Even those subsequent adult children coming at the next service who may have been cajoled to attend with some sort of nagging refrain akin to, it can count as a Christmas present to me. I'm also grateful for the 4 or 5s of people watching online today. Hello, Texas. Hello, Georgia. Hello, Pastor Mandy in North Carolina. Hello, David in Spain. He's not up watching this. When Mandy asked me to preach today, I took a quick look at my calendar and realized that today would be exactly 4 months since I had last preached. The last Sunday in August, and then the last Sunday in December. Now, I suggested that that might be too frequent for those with a discerning theological palate. But Mandy said she thought it would be fine, and she said she was going to sell some rotting produce in the gathering place as a fundraiser, but I guess she decided family in North Carolina took precedent. Now, this is not to say that my fellow Glenmar staff members aren't supportive. I asked Jen Rao what I should preach on today, and she said, hey, you can preach on anything, just keep it short. So, I was also wondering if it was truly a coincidence that the Bob Dylan biopic came out this week, A Complete Unknown. With those ringing endorsements in my ears, I feel confident that the intellectual journey I'm about to embark on will be the greatest message you hear this morning in the next 20 minutes. Now, as you may know, the preacher is always allowed to pick out their choice of scripture and what they want to give the message on. And I'm a kind of a traditionalist. I like to look at the lectionary and see what the assigned scriptures are for a particular Sunday. And depending on what year, it's a three-year cycle, today's scripture reading could have been the appearance or the disappearance of Jesus from his family when he was 12, and they had to go back and search for him for 3 days before they found him at the temple when he was 12. And I thought, okay, so we're going from infant Jesus to 12-year-old Jesus. That seemed a little, you know, too quick for me. So then I found something that did deal with infant Jesus, the slaughter of the innocents. When Herod, who was upset about the potential rise or potential birth of a new king, declared that all the baby boys in Bethlehem had to be killed. I said, no, I'm going to pass on that one too. So I picked something a little more traditional, one of my favorite passages of scripture, the prologue to John. So if you're like me, you may also choose to do your final Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve in between worship services at Glenmar. If that's the case, perhaps you found yourself, like me, this past Tuesday evening, walking into the Safeway in Longgate Shopping Center. As I was moving through the seasonal candy section looking for some sweet stocking stuffers, I was both flummoxed and disappointed to see that half of the Christmas candy shelves were already filled with Valentine's products. Bags of candy hearts with silly sayings on them and heart-shaped boxes of chocolate. As a person of a more traditional bent, it always drives me crazy to see all the Christmas decorations and carols start to appear at every store the day after Halloween. Thanksgiving might as well not exist for retailers if there's more money to be made by marketing Christmas as soon as possible. Just as merchants would want us to start buying as early as possible for the next season, the capitalist machine would like us to move on immediately to the next money-making opportunity. I have been enjoying listening to the traditional Christmas music throughout December on a particular Sirius XM station in my car. That lasted until 1 p.m. on December 26th, when they moved it back to the regular programming. Now, lest we forget too quickly, the Christmas season actually lasts 12 days. So we're just now on the Five Golden Rings Day. Don't expect me to sing. In the classic Dr. Seuss story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Grinch comes up with a sinister plan to stop Christmas from coming in Whoville. Once the last two in Whoville had gone to sleep on Christmas Eve, the Grinch, disguised as Saint Nick, sneaks into every house in the village, taking everything that has to do with Christmas. The Grinch steals the presents, the food, the stockings, the decorations, and even the tree. The Grinch won't even leave a crumb fit for a mouse. Oh yes, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. As the Grinch climbs the mountain with all the Christmas loot, he is positively pleased that he has ruined Christmas for all the Who's in Whoville. No one will be happy this Christmas morning. The Grinch listens to hear the sound of children crying. But every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours, till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. Christmas without presents? Indeed, Christmas must mean something more. The song says it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but what does Christmas really look like? If we take away the ribbons and bows, tinsel and holly, candy canes and mistletoe, Santa and reindeer, the lights, the trees, carolers, snow, if everything that we can touch, taste, see, smell, or hear about Christmas is taken away, what do we have left? The Who's had each other, and their recognition that Christmas was about more than material blessings. Christmas Day is in our grasp so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just so long as we have we. Welcome, Christmas, while we stand heart to heart and hand in hand. Someone has said that Christmas is not about presents, E-N-T-S, but presence, E-N-C-E, his presence. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. One of my favorite lines from the prologue to John's Gospel, which we read today, is verse 14, where it says, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us." I like even more the paraphrase from the Message version, where it says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Christmas makes it possible for God's presence to fill our hearts and lives. And with his presence, we have everything we need. That is the focus of the Advent season. And we collectively journeyed through the four Sundays before Christmas Day. We had the opportunity to reflect on the blessings of the coming Messiah. Advent is a time for reflection and spiritual preparation that leads us to Christmas. The themes of Advent, of hope, peace, joy, and love, encourage us to align our hearts with the message of Christ's birth and to prepare for Christmas by reflecting on God's promises, seeking peace, and sharing love. Now, these concepts are too deep to unpack in just one day, which is why we are given a full 12 days to reflect on God coming into the world as a human baby. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The concept of an infinite God being encased in a limited, fragile, fallible body is one of the great mysteries of the Bible. We use the term in Christianity, incarnation, to get across the idea of Word becoming flesh. From the Latin carne, meaning flesh, like chili con carne is chili with meat, incarnation is God with flesh. In confirmation, we teach that Jesus is just God in a bod, or God con carne. Ultimately, that's what Christmas is. Christmas is God taking the most powerful theological word of all in all of creation and allowing it to enter into humanity in a way that we might possibly comprehend. I'm referring to the word and. It's more than just a conjunction, and it has an incredibly powerful duality to it. It can connect past and present, present and future, good and bad, bleak and hopeful. The entry of the Word of God, Logos, the utterance of God, the creativity, the same uncreated nature or essence as God the Father, with whom he eternally exists, and in the flesh form of a human being. Word and flesh. Christmas is the moment that and enters the world for each of us. God breaks down the barriers to reach us directly with his word, and the word provides hope, joy, peace, and love. The dual nature of and is perfected through the death and resurrection of Jesus, but it enters the world through his birth. The presence of God living in our world changes the very essence of what we understand about ourselves, our relationship to God and each other, our concepts of forgiveness, acceptance, and grace, and is such a powerful concept that shows God is continually nudging, continually reaching for, continually following us. Throughout Scripture, God continually makes it clear that our actions and or inactions cannot serve to prevent God from accomplishing God's desires. Scripture is chock full of God who continually says, "You can't get away from me." We're broken and we're restored. We're captured and we are redeemed. We're sinful and we are grace-filled. We're dying and we have eternal life. The Beatitudes say we're poor in spirit and we have the kingdom of God. We mourn and we will be comforted. We're reviled and persecuted, and our reward is great in heaven. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, and we will be filled. And perhaps the most powerful duality under God, we're lost and we're found. There's an enormous hunger for God in this world. Often people are hungry, but we don't know what we're hungry for. I'm hungry, but I don't know what for, we say as we graze in front of an open refrigerator door. Life is lived between two addresses, being lost and being found. The words lost and found make regular appearances throughout Scripture. Our songs even use the words, most famously in Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. There is no doubt these words have a rich history in the Christian vocabulary. So let's examine these words briefly and see how they form the boundaries of life. In one sense, the church declares lostness is endemic to humanity since Adam and Eve lost their way in the garden. Since then, the story of grace is the story of God's relentless pursuit of God's lost and wayward children. Lostness has many faces and creates many detours in our life. We are all lost. The Bible is full of stories of people lost and then found. Lostness can be a deliberate choice, but more than likely it's incidental to the human condition. We don't mean to do it, but we can't help it. It all begins because we think we know the way. Me? Lost? Of course not. No one likes to admit they are lost, whether it's lost driving or lost in the mall parking lot. Raise your hand if you've ever exited the mall and forgot where your car was. Okay. Getting lost doesn't seem to be too difficult for us to do. Maybe getting lost is natural, which would make being found supernatural. What does it mean to be lost? Of course, getting lost physically is the least of our worries. We get lost in relationships, lost in our careers, lost in life, lost in our faith. Some of the ways we get lost haven't even been invented yet. Back us up in a corner, take away all our human options, give us a bad doctor's report, throw our life off the tracks, and we naturally get lost. Lostness makes us see our need for being found. Lostness brings us to our knees. In this world, lostness is only a tragedy away, and then who can we turn to? Who can find us when we have lost our way? Of course, it's infinitely easier to be lost in the dark. Darkness makes it hard for us to see, both literally and figuratively, which is why the solution of being lost in the darkness was solved by God when he broke into our world on Christmas. Again, from the Message version of John's prologue, what came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. The light life was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. What does it mean to be found? If lostness is facing our inadequacies, then being found is coming face to face with God's sufficiency. What we often find out is that we will always remain lost as long as we depend on ourselves. trusting ourselves as a prescription for being lost. God is able. We can be found, we just can't find ourselves. Being found is not so much of stumbling into God as it is God pursuing us. The odd thing about being found is that God can't find us if we're unwilling to be found. What are we looking for? Do we feel lost? Are we wandering through life? If we are, we're not alone. The scripture and life itself are filled with people lost and wayward. Getting lost is natural. Being found is supernatural. Are we ready to be found? Are we ready to move from desperation to hope? Anxiety to peace? Sadness to joy? Loneliness to love? From being lost to being found? Jesus does not condemn us in our lostness, but neither does he pat us on the head and say, "Stay lost." Jesus says, "Come with me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The invitation is for all of us. Yes, my fellow pilgrims, God so loved each of us that he sent his Son to break into the world, to impact it and us for eternity. Because of Christmas, our lives have meaning, we have a purpose, we are not alone, we are found. As we recognize this, it begins to make every day look a lot like Christmas. Amen.